The Old Testament book of Proverbs, we're told in chapter 23 and verse 7, is speaking of a man as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What we learn from that is that the thinking that we have produces actions. The thinking that we have determines the kind of people that we are or the kind of people that we become. And now you couple that with what we just read from the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 6, in those couple of three verses that were read, we find that God's people are called upon to be people of righteousness, to be people of purity, to be holy people, and to be people who are motivated in the service of God. But I've got to tell you, that's not going to be possible without the correct thinking. And when we talk about correct thinking, we're talking about having a mindset that is in tune with doing these things. Or if I might put that in a slightly different way, what this is talking about is attitude. It's talking about the attitude that we have. Unless our attitude is where it ought to be, then there isn't any way in the world that we're going to be able to have our conduct consistent with the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's got to start in the mind. It's got to start in the attitude. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts it in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and this time in verse 5. He said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds..." We're going to look at this verse a little more closely in a moment. Really talking about attitude here. "Set their minds or their attitudes on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6 continues, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, as the New American Standard Bible renders that, it tells us, "Let this attitude be in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus." So we're to have the attitude or the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if our attitude is bad, and then our lives or our dispositions are going to be bad as well. And you know, what you need to realize is, and many of you may already know this, you know, the word attitude is a word that's also used in aviation. I'm not talking about altitude here, but in an airplane, you have an attitude gauge. You really do. Now, I know there's altitude and so forth, but there's an attitude gauge in an airplane. You know, when you're flying a plane, you don't know just by being up in the atmosphere whether your plane is tilted this way or that way, or however, you don't have that sensation. So what you have is a gauge on the panel that shows you the horizon of the earth, and it gives you a picture of the plane. That's called the attitude. And so you keep the attitude steady. If you're a pilot, if you get the attitude wrong in either direction, then you're likely to crash or have problems in flying that plane. So the attitude has got to be right. If you're going to land a plane, the attitude has to be such that you come down safely on the runway. You can't be tilted one way or the other. Now, if you look in the dictionary at the definition of attitude, as it applies to the mindset, not the gauges in an airplane, but the mindset of an individual, you're talking about a mental position with regard to a fact or state, a frame of mind, an outlook. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about attitudes. We're talking about a person's frame of mind, his frame of perspective, his outlook. And so when we get that behind us, it causes me to raise this question then. What is your attitude? Now, if you look at that, you see I've got dots on the end of the question, you realize, hey, you know, J.R., that's really an incomplete question. It doesn't make any sense. And in reality, that's true. I can't ask the question so open-endedly as that. I have to supply something. I have to supply, a reference point, that is, an earthly horizon or a runway of sorts, if we were talking about being pilots in an airplane. And so if I'm going to ask that question, what is your attitude? I need to fill that in. You know, what is your attitude toward people? Or your attitude toward various ideas or circumstances? What is your attitude toward hardships? Or morality or relationships? What is your attitude toward God? Because you see, unless we have a correct attitude toward these things, our behavior is going to be all out of kilter. My response and my behavior toward these or many others that we could add to that, to the list, will depend upon my attitude. It'll depend upon the feelings that I have in my heart or the thinking that I have in my mind toward these things. So depending upon what my inner feelings are towards the things that I encounter is going to determine whether I will meet those things with difficulties or I'll meet those things with ease. It sort of goes like this. You know that I'm a runner and I enjoy running. Well, you know, there's been some bad weather of late, and so what I've been doing when I get the desire to exercise a little bit, I'll run on a treadmill. My mental attitude toward treadmills is I hate them. I can run the same distance on a treadmill that I do on a road, and it's three times in my mind as hard on the treadmill as it is on the road. Why? My attitude. My attitude toward that makes it difficult. You see how what your mind can do? You know, this is true in a lot of other areas as well. You know, remember Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You take a fellow that's going to use the same amount of muscle power going out here cutting and mowing his lawn as he would on the golf course. But now his attitude is different toward each of those. One is viewed as work, and the other is viewed as recreation or relaxation. And you could talk about a board game or a card game. It's going to take the same mental power to play a game of euchre as it is to run a business, and one is stressful and one is relaxing. Why is that? It's because of one's attitude. It's because of one's frame of mind. And if my attitude toward these or many others that we could list there is bad, then it's going to evidence itself. Bad attitudes always evidence themselves in behavior or in conduct. You take, for example, what the Lord said back in Matthew chapter 12. He said, in speaking to those of his day, he said, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what he's saying here? Your attitude is going to be expressed by the things you say. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Well, really all he's saying is when I speak or I behave or I conduct myself in a particular way, what that speech or that behavior or that conduct is saying is what is J.R.'s attitude. It's the attitude that I have. Remember, the Bible tells me that I am to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. We're going to return to that verse, Philippians 2 and verse 5, later on in our study. So what I say exposes my heart, exposes my mind, exposes my attitude. What I do exposes my heart, exposes my mind, exposes my attitude. My response to people, to circumstances, or to things, or to God reveals my heart, or exposes my mind, or exposes my attitude. This is why the proverb writer tells us in chapter 4 and verse 23 that we're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life or the headwaters of life. Now those who have bad attitudes have carnal, worldly speech, carnal, worldly conduct, ungodly behavior. You cannot hide a bad attitude. it will display itself in a lot of areas. For example, you know, somebody who's always critical about anything, whether it's a wife, a child, a church, a neighbor, whatever, bad attitude. Or somebody that's always just filled with negativity. Nothing is ever done to suit this person. Oh, that's wrong, this is wrong, those are wrong, you're wrong, he's wrong, she's wrong. Or defiance, rudeness, arrogance, impatience, all of this indicates something's wrong in here. Some attitude is wrong. Self-centeredness, apathy, rebellion, just simply being uncooperative or always discouraging others. Or self-reliance. I don't need anybody. Or jealousy. All of these are indicative of bad attitudes. And it's like I say, bad attitudes always express themselves in what we do, in what we say, in the behavior that we have, in the conduct by which we live. Now remember what Paul said. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds phoneo. And that word means to be mentally disposed, attitude. Set their attitudes on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that is to have a worldly attitude. He says, is death. But to be spiritually minded, that is, have a spiritual attitude, he says, is life and peace. Now just remember, Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. And nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. He's talking about the mindset, the thinking, the attitude. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2 that, you know, if you've been raised with Christ, now you remember what he said? He said, set your mind, some translations say affection, set your mind on things above. You realize that's the same word that's found right there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, phoneo, set your attitude on things above. Now, if we're a pilot here, what we're finding out is if we want the plane to be right as far as attitude is concerned, we have to have the correct reference. You set your attitude on things above, not on things of this earth. You see, that which is higher, that which is nobler, that which is of greater value, is to be our reference point. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you know, we can talk all day about doing. You know, do this, do that. Cross this T, dot this I, do this religiously. Take care of this obligation. But friends, let me tell you, unless the attitude is level, unless the attitude is right, all of the dots and all of the crossings and all of the doings are going to be worthless. We have to have the attitude right. It's got to be the attitude which was in Christ Jesus. Now let me pose a series of questions to us this morning, and I'm going to deal with some things now. And I'm going to ask, what is my attitude toward these? And I'm going to show you what the Bible says my attitude is to be. Let's start with God. What is to be our attitude toward God? Now, I have some verses there. I'll not take the time to read all of the verses, but they're on the board. And please, if you're taking notes or whatever, jot them down. Matthew 10 and verse 28. We're not to fear man, but rather we are to fear God. Now, that, we start right there. My attitude is one of reverence for God. John 5 and verse 30, the attitude the Lord had was to do the will of the Father. That is to be my attitude. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, I'm to love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, I'm promised by Him that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can sort of lump those together. I'll tell you what my attitude toward God is to be. My attitude is to be reverent, submissive, loving, and trusting. That's my attitude. Or that is to be my attitude toward God. Well, let's carry on. What about to God's people? What about to Christians? What is to be my attitude toward those who are children of God? Well, John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, I leave with you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be kind, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, I'm to be long-suffering toward those who are children of God. James 2 and verses 1 through 9, I am not at all to be in any way, shape, manner, or form one who shows prejudice or bigotry or partiality. See, you know what I find from this compilation of scriptures? I find that my attitude toward Christians is to be one of loving, forgiving, encouraging, kind, and impartial. And you notice I'm not talking here about what I do. I'm talking about what I think. I'm talking about attitude. Well, let's go on. What about the idea of authority? What is to be my attitude toward the subject of authority? Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, I am to be subject to those who rule over me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, I am to be submissive to the powers that be, to the governing authorities, to the king as supreme. So my attitude toward authority, I'm not to be a rebel rouser. And the reason that I'm not a rebel rouser is because my mind, my attitude is one of respect and obedience to authority, whether that's the authority of the government, the authority of God, the authority as far as elders are concerned. I'm to be submissive, respectful, and obedient. What's my attitude toward difficulties in life? My attitude toward difficulties in life, Romans 8 and verse 28, remember that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. James 1 verses 2 and 3, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. So I got difficulties. What's my attitude toward patience? I'm to be persevering. What about the church? Well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 32, I am not to cause offense at all as far as the body is concerned. I am to do all things to edify, build up, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. I am to be one who's involved in serving others, serving one another. What's my attitude toward church? Well, my attitude toward church is I'm cooperative. I'm serving. That's my attitude. That's the attitude that I'm to have. What about when things happen that are unfair? You know, we talked about fairness in a sermon last week. What's to be my attitude when things are unfair? You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Luke chapter 18 and verse 7, God will avenge His elect. You know what I'm going to... I need to have the attitude of trusting in God's justice. That's my attitude. That's my mind. That's my thinking. What about toward those who are lost? There are a lot of lost people in the community. A lot of lost people in our families, in our neighborhoods, in the schools that our children attend. A lot of lost people that we work with. What's to be my attitude toward them? Well, now, the attitude of Jesus was He came to seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He said in Matthew chapter 9, 37 and 38, that we're to pray that God would send forth those who would harvest. And indeed, we need harvesters. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, I'm to make disciples of all the nations. You know what my attitude is to be toward the lost? I am to have the attitude of compassion, of helping them learn the way, and instructing them. That's the attitude that I'm to have. Well, what's be my attitude towards sin? Well, my attitude towards sin, if I look at this compilation of Scripture, Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9, so drastic, Jesus said, we're to view sin that if your hand sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, the Lord is using an hyperbole here to show just how heinous and hideous sin is. Well, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. And the passage we read, verses 12 through 14 of Romans 6 as well. I'm to put on the new man. I'm not to engage in the things that I used to engage in. And if I see a brother engaging in that, in Galatians 1, verses 1 and 2, I'm to help bear his burdens. I'm to get him out of that if I possibly can. So I learned from this that my attitude towards sin is it's to be uncompromising. Whether it's in word, whether it's in deed, whether it's in thought. Now these are the attitudes that we're to have among these things. Now, what we need to stop and think about right now is we need to stop thinking, do I have those attitudes? Are these attitudes that are in my heart, are they in my mind? I'm not talking about what we're doing. I'm talking about the thinking that we have, the mental process here. Let's get in that airplane again. Let's look at our gauge. And we see on that gauge right there, rather than the horizon of the earth, we see the horizon of God's Word. Now, how does the plane that I'm in, how does it measure up? Is it level? You know, this is what we're talking about here. What is my attitude toward these things? You know, it's something that we need to take very seriously. If my attitude toward these things are not what they ought to be, if I don't have this level attitude that God calls upon me to have, what can I do about it? What should I do about it? What's possible for me to do about it? Well, you know, a lot of people operate under the premise that there's not a great deal that a person can do about his attitude. As a matter of fact, a fellow by the name of Harold S. Hook wrote this about attitudes. He said there are only three ways to make a basic fundamental change in a person's attitude. Deep psychotherapy, deep religious conversion, or brain surgery. I'll tell you, now that shows you, how, as far as the world is concerned, you know, I showed you how serious a problem that it is when the attitudes are all out of kilter here. So what do? We can go across the street over here, you know, they got some sort of mental health clinic across the street, and we can start funneling a lot of money, and we can try to get some psychotherapy here and get the attitudes changed. You know, pay somebody about $100 an hour, lie on the couch and talk to them and let them help us change our attitude, or get the attitude level. We could do that. A lot of people do that. Or, you know, we could have a lobotomy, you know, we could have brain surgery of some sort, you know. And I tell you what, I opt for this. I say that applying true Christianity, genuinely applying the teaching of the Bible, will take care of this matter. We can change our attitude and maintain our attitude. And it can be what it ought to be. You remember this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now doing what? Bringing every thought into captivity. You know what he's saying? You can do that. You can change your attitude. You know, just sort of like lassoing. You can lasso those thoughts and you can bring them into where they need to be. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, how is that possible? You know, it's easy to talk about these things. How is it even possible? Yes, it's possible. You know, change is possible with the help of Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, with God all things are possible. Now, does that all things include getting our thought process right, getting our attitudes where they are. Yes. With God, all things are possible. Now, what I'd like to do is just hit upon some things here for us to think about and talk about. Changing attitude. How can I change a bad attitude? Well, in the first place, I have to concede that I've got one. I can't justify it. I can't pretend that it doesn't exist. I've got to examine my mind and examine my heart in the mirror of God's Word. You know, James in James chapter 1 talks about looking into God's mirror, God's perfect law of liberty. He says, you know, some people look into that, and it's like they go into the mirror, you know, and they look at themselves in the mirror, and they say, well, you know, I might need a shave, but I'm just going to walk off and forget that I need it. Or I might see a blemish on my face, I'm just going to pretend that it's not there, and I'll just walk away from the mirror. He said, this is the way that a lot of people do the Word of God. What we've got to do is we've got to stop and examine our heart, and examine our mind, and examine our attitude in view of God's mirror, God's perfect law of liberty. What does it tell me? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 that godly sorrow produces change, repentance. So when I look into the mirror of God's Word and I recognize that there's something that is amiss in my thought process, in my mental disposition, in my attitude, and I recognize that, and I acknowledge that, then I'm on the way to change. It produces change, or it produces repentance. Now, sometimes it might take an outside force to cause me to, you know, take a good, long, hard, solid look into what God... It might be something that forces me to do this. You know, I look back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You remember when Saul was king over Israel? And God had told King Saul to go to the Amalekites and completely and utterly, literally destroy the Amalekites. Don't bring anything back. Just destroy everything, you know, man, woman, child, herd, flock, get rid of. But old Saul didn't do that. He brought back some of the best things. He even brought back King Agag. Now, old Samuel the prophet got Saul to begin looking into what God said. This is what God said. And you didn't do it. And Saul admitted, I didn't do it. So it took that outside force. And sometimes it'll take that in our lives. You know, you take with David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. David knew that adultery was wrong. But it took old Nathan to come to him and just absolutely, you know, nail his hide to the wall. You are the man. I have sinned, he said. So it kind of took an outside force here to get his mind right. To recognize I got a problem. Peter did this for Simon in Acts chapter 8 and verse 21. Simon, your heart's not right before God. Repent of this, your wickedness. You know, this has got to be the attitude that we start with. That my attitude toward myself, it's not right. It's not what it ought to be. I've got to make a change. Now, sometimes we wait too late. To acknowledge this, we may wait till we see a teenager that we've raised develop the same attitudes that we have. Well, what we need to do is just look into God's Word. Admit, you know, just like if we're talking about somebody that's got a drug problem or an alcohol problem, you know, concede you have a problem. Acknowledge it. That's where we got to start. That's not all. Then we've got to make a choice. Okay, now I realize it. I realize that I've got a problem here. I realize my attitude, my heart's not right. I'm going to make a change. It's up to you to make that change. It's like I read somewhere one time that life is 20% of what happens to you and 80% of how you respond to what happens to you. I'm not going to live this way. I am going to change. I am responsible for my attitude. I am responsible for my thought process. And I'm going to make some changes in my attitude. Yeah, you know, I love reading in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, you know, when Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jail. They were down in the dungeon. It was midnight. And did you ever notice what Paul and Silas sat down there and said? They said, well, you know, this is life, and we're just going to have to roll with the flow. No, they didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. They sang praises to God. They prayed and praised God that very night. They chose their attitude toward their circumstances. So that's what we got to do. We acknowledge if our attitude is bad. Yep, it's bad. Then we make a decision. We choose to change. And then I'll tell you what. Seek help from above. Call upon God in prayer. I like to put it just pray, pray, and pray some more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, just remember this, that God is able to do abundantly all that we above all that we ask or even think. I'm going to tell you, we sometimes discount so much power that is available to us by failing to approach God in prayer. Cast your care upon Him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, for He cares for you. Prayer is powerful. It can make some changes. It can help in changing one's heart. I think I've told you this illustration. Several years ago, a woman had a problem with another woman in the church. And she come to me and she said, J.R., said, I've just got a terrible attitude. I just can't stand to look at her and I can't stand to be around her. I don't know what to do about it. I said, pray for her. She said, well, I have. I said, no. Here's what I mean. You go home and you pray for this woman every single day and you call her name before the throne of God. You lay this woman's name before the throne of God and pray for her. Now, I don't know what that's going to do about your relationship. I don't know what it's going to do about that which caused the estrangement, but this I do know, it will change you. Some months later, she came back and she said, J.R., I can't believe it. I don't feel the way that I used to feel about this person. Pray about the matter. Concede you have a bad attitude. Choose to change. Call upon God in prayer. And then concentrate on reading God's Word. You know, if you want to be filled with likeness to Christ, you need to be filled with His Word. You know, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3 and verse 16. I'm not going to take on His characteristics unless I read about those characteristics, unless I imbibe those characteristics in my mind and in my heart. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. If I want my faith to increase, I'm going to dwell upon His Word. If I'm going to share His likeness, I'm going to fill my heart with His Word. You know, Philippians 4 and verse 8 reminds us of things that we are to meditate upon. That which is true, that which is noble, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely. These are things that are contained in God's Word. Now, if I'm filling my mind and I'm filling my heart, I'm filling my attitude with things that are true. And things that are noble, and things that are just, and things that are pure, and things that are lovely. And so, what am I to do? My attitude's not right. I'll make a change. I acknowledge that I've got a problem. I'm going to change. I'm going to call upon God in prayer, and I'm going to concentrate on His Word, and I'm going to be persistent. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to surrender to the devil. I may lose a round today, but I'm going to get up and get back in and fight again tomorrow because 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Oh, what a promise that is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Oh, what a promise. And what hope that we have. You know, we can change. And we can be like the Lord in mind and in attitude. You know, it's like that passage there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. I tell people these are nine of the most impressive words that you can string together. Three groups of three. As He is, so are we in this world. It's just as simple as that. So I ask you again, what is your attitude? What is your attitude? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And if it's not, then you can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we've given you some solutions. Concede your attitude's not what it ought to be. Make a decision. You know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to call on God in prayer. I'm going to concentrate on His Word, and I'm going to continue on with perseverance. If you'll do that, if you'll maintain that attitude that Christ Jesus had, that I can tell you something, you can be saved, have all your sins forgiven. You can find contentment upon this earth. You can live a life that is happy and hopeful. And you don't have to be a slave to these emotions that tend to destroy both body, mind, and soul. If you're not a Christian today, let the attitude that Jesus had be one that you have right now. My will is to do the will of God. Make that your attitude. Repent of your sins based upon your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Turn from those sins. Abandon them. Be ashamed of them. Be sorry for them. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Be baptized this morning in water for the remission of your sins. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.